And we're joined right now on the phone from down in Duluth by Tara Lieberg. Tara is the otter keeper, among other duties, which we'll talk about, at the Great Lakes Aquarium. Tara, thanks so much for taking time to be with us on the Roadhouse.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
The first thing I got to say is I would love to have a job where the title is otter keeper. Yeah. I think that's the best job title I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's pretty great. I have actually quite a few job titles. That is the one I am using most these days.
Well, I guess the first thing I want to ask, I'm reading the paper the other day, actually a Twin Cities paper, and I read that at the aquarium that you've got otters painting. And I thought, now, that can't happen very often. How did you happen to get the otters talked into doing some painting?
Right. Well, you know, this is a concept that actually a lot of zoos do, and they do it in different ways. So I know some zoos will do like paw prints when their animals are under anesthesia for dental exams, things like that. And then they'll just have like a paw print or something like that. And then one of our administrative assistants had found an article about penguins painting and penguins just walking on paper and painting. And so she was like, you have to try this. And I was like, all right, you know, I will. So about 6 months later, she was like, you need to try this. I was like, all right, I will. So then I did, and I tried it, and it did not work the first time. I used regular, like, printer paper and blobs of paint, and the otters were like, you want me to walk on this or what? And I didn't, obviously, I can't force them to do anything, so I didn't ask them to come over here for food. I just, you know, let them check it out, and they really could care less about it. And that's kind of how it went the first time. So then,
let me just interrupt you.
Go ahead. Yeah.
How many otters are we talking about there?
Two
otters into painting. Okay, so it didn't work on printer paper with globs of paint.
Right. So that did not work. So the second time, I still used the printer paper, but I just smeared the paint on with my own hands or a paintbrush or whatever I had at the time. And then they were much more willing to just step on it that way. And the paper was really crinkly just because it is that printer paper. And they didn't really love that noise. So then I moved to cardstock paper, which is just a little bit thicker. And that has worked really well ever since. We did try to upgrade to canvas, and they didn't care for that either. So we decided to stick with cardstock.
You've got some pretty picky painter otters there, I think.
Yeah.
Just a lot of trial and error to find out what they'll work with.
Yeah, and we really mostly did it for just a couple of things. It was really fun to see. For me, that first time I got a little otter paw print in my paint, I was so excited. I thought it was the best thing ever because, I mean, I don't see their foot. You know what I mean? I don't have mud on the exhibit, so we don't have footprints, things like that.
Uh-huh.
And so that was just pretty great. And the other thing is enrichment. We try to provide different stimulus for them every day. So we give them toys to play with or different types of food or food hidden in dog treat balls, things like that. So they have to work for their food because in the wild they'd be hunting all day long and things like that. So this different tactile enrichment is what we would call it because we give them sand, so that's a different texture. We'll give them sod for the grassy texture. And so we thought this is just a different texture. It's slippery. It's different. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they're not going to come across children's finger paint in the wild.
No,
but they'll come across mud and algae and slimy things. And so we thought, you know, we're just going to go for it. And they really don't seem to mind it. Obviously, they don't talk to me and tell me if they like it or dislike it.
But I would think if they dislike it, they just wouldn't do it.
Right. And I only put paper and paint on about half of their space where they eat. So they can choose to go on it or they can choose to not. And they choose pretty much every day to go, every time we paint, I guess, to go on it.
So how I was going to ask you that, how often do you have the otters paint?
Well, it kind of depends. Some weeks, so they've been painting for about a year. So in the last year, we would go maybe once a week, twice a week, up to three times a week, kind of depending on if I had time or if I had gotten some really great paintings already that week. I really didn't paint that much because we were just selling them in our gift shop. So it's not, you know, a big deal. And then after Krista from the Duluth News Tribune came in and wrote that wonderful story, we've been selling quite a few more paintings. And so now we've upped our painting time.
Got to up the production time here. Come on, you guys, get these things cranked out.
Which is funny because yesterday then I went to paint with them and they really didn't care for it. They walked on the paper, but not a lot. So I have about 4 paw prints from yesterday and no tail swipes and no fur prints.
Well,
I
was going to ask you that now. First of all, apparently not only did you find that heavier stock worked better than printer paper or canvas, but also you mentioned children's finger paints. Is that what they like to use the best?
Yes. Yep. Right. So we want to use non-toxic paint, nothing strange, no harsh smells or anything. So we just started with the kids, just Crayola paint.
And what do they use? What do they use to paint? I mean, you mentioned, do they use their bodies or their tails or their?
It kind of depends. Our female otter, Anung, she's 15. She uses her whole body. She uses her paws. She has a lot of extra skin, like around her arms. It's hard to explain. It looks like she's wearing a big sweater. And so sometimes her fur will drag. Yeah, I know. It's pretty silly. and she sometimes even the fur on her belly will hang down and make cute little like furry prints. But she also has arthritis in her hips and her back. And she's 15. That's very old for a river otter. In the wild, they would not live to 15. They would live to about 10, maybe 12. So she's past her wild lifespan. In captivity, she could live easily to 20.
Wow.
So she's doing okay. But she's had arthritis for a few years now, and we do give her supplements for that, but she doesn't hold her tail up. She drags her tail, and their tails are very heavy, like pounds. I mean, for a 15-pound otter, her tail is probably a good 3 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is pretty funny. But they use that tail quite a bit. So she doesn't hold her tail up. So she has tons of tail swipes, paw prints, and fur prints. And sometimes she'll even just sit down when she's eating if she doesn't want to stand anymore. Again, probably because of her arthritis. And she just sits down right on her little paintings. So she's pretty painty when we're done. Whereas our male, he holds his tail up, so only the very, very tip of his tail will ever touch the ground, and that's a normal thing. Even when he's just running around on the exhibit, he will hold his tail up, and he never sits down when he eats because he loves to eat and it's very exciting, and he can't stand to sit down. So he has a lot of just paw prints, and so his aren't very smeary either. His paintings are very clear. A lot of paw prints. I mean, the paw prints sometimes will be a little bit smeared, but. Whereas our female, Anung, she'll just smear her tail around. She'll, like I said, lie down on them. So her paint is very smeared.
Now, did you have it in your mind? I want to remind our listeners we're visiting with Tara Lieberg, who is the otter keeper, among other duties, at the Great Lakes Aquarium in Duluth. Did you have it in mind right at the start to sell these in the gift shop, or did you all of a sudden think, wait a minute, we can market this?
I was trying to think about that, and I can't really remember, but I think at first it was not something I was going to sell. I didn't really think about it until I saw some really great ones. Our first ones, I just looked at our first ones compared to the ones we're doing now, and it's kind of funny that how they actually will work so much more in the paint than compared to their first ones. It's actually pretty funny.
So they're improving as they go along.
They are, especially Anung, our female. Her paintings are the most popular.
That's really funny.
So I don't think we thought right away, oh, we can make money off of this. And so then we just started framing just little ones, selling them for just a couple bucks. Like, here, buy a paw print for $2, $5, you know. And then people really liked it. And so we just started framing more. And that's just kind of how it started. And during the summer, we were a lot busier with tourism, obviously.
Oh, sure.
So we sell quite a few in the summer, and then kind of normally at this time we would really be dying down and we wouldn't be painting as much. But like I said, after Krista wrote that wonderful article, we've kind of sold quite a few.
Tara, I know that you work with other animals and species, primarily non-fish species. You work with amphibians, small birds, turtles, snakes. Have you got any of those painting?
We haven't started that yet. We actually did just talk about that. We want to for sure start with a snake because they would make fantastic. I mean, if you think about around.
I understand what you're saying, yeah.
I think they would do it. I have a couple snakes that are a little bit more adventurous than others. So I really think I have one snake. His name is Huckleberry Finn for that reason. He loves to take little adventures.
What kind of snake is he?
He is a Honduran milk snake. So he's in our Masters of Disguise.
Well, they're well-known good painters, you know, those Honduran. So well-known that they're good painters.
Yes, no. So he's pretty, he moves a lot, and he, we put him on the floor, and he, there's a lot of different ways snakes can move, but he moves in a very typical S pattern. So he looks like an S when he's moving. So I think he would make really fantastic paintings. And we've also talked about having our turtles paint. We have some young turtles that would be really easy to paint with. The older turtles are not that much bigger, but the young ones are very easy to handle and
would just
probably scamper all around the paper.
And perhaps a little more adventurous.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and we do, we have an office pet. We used to have two little rats, and they did some painting as well. That paint, those paintings are not for sale, as nobody can really see our office pets because they're in my office.
But, I see.
They did some painting. They did not love it.
So they didn't, huh?
No, they didn't.
What was the problem there? Did you talk to them about it at all? Or?
I tried, and they just they climbed up the side of their cage every time I did it.
No kidding.
Which is, it's bars, and that's a normal behavior. They would climb up their cage all the time, but I'd put them on the paper, and they'd be like, no, no, no. And they would just climb up the side of their cage. So we didn't do it very often.
Those rats, they're too good for that.
I know.
Now, I think you also want to be a little careful because from what I understand, otters can be very jealous. So you don't want them.
Yeah.
Don't price the others any higher than the otter paintings.
I know.
That's pretty good. Now, do they, I'm assuming then that they paint in their areas where people can see them doing it.
They do not.
They don't.
They paint in their holding area. So we do have behind-the-scenes tours that some people can come back and see. We actually have never painted in front of anyone else until the Duluth Beach Tribune came, and I was like, you know, this is gonna, we're gonna try it, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So, and I told them that beforehand. Our male otter, he's not super jumpy, but sometimes when things are different, he's like, I don't know what's going on here. I don't think I'm gonna do my normal behavior.
Sure.
I just want to eat and get out of here.
Yep.
So, but he was totally, actually, you know what, now that I say that, no, he was fine. We did paint earlier that day, but then when the News Tribune came, he didn't want to come back and eat anymore, which is funny for him. He loves to eat, but so the female did all the painting for the News Tribune. I forgot that.
Pretty interesting, and of course, working with animals as you do, you already know this, but pretty interesting to see different personalities coming out as you work with them to do various things, like you talked about the rats, what didn't want anything to do with
it,
and how the two different otters paint differently. I would guess that that's also kind of their personality anyway. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Kind of like I was saying with the otters, where a nun will hold her tail down all the time, and she's just kind of a more calm otter. She'll do anything. It does go along a lot with her, especially her eating personality. She will eat anything edible pretty much that I give her. I will give her chicken, she'll eat it. I'll give her mice, she'll eat them. I'll give her any kind of fish, she'll eat it.
Mm-hmm.
The male, he's a little bit more cautious and just a little bit more reserved in that way. And that shows in his paintings, I think. He will not eat mice. He will not eat anything that he's not sure what it is.
Sure.
Fish, he will eat. Chicken, he does not eat. Mice, he does not eat.
The fact that the female eats anything that you give her probably accounts for all that extra skin around her arms.
Which is funny. It looks like she's a little kid wearing her mother's sweater. That's what it looks like. And so you would think she should fill it out. You think, oh, she's so thin. But if she filled that out, she would probably weigh 10 pounds more than she does now. And she weighs about 15 pounds.
That's funny.
For her to weigh 25 pounds, she would be a little round.
Yeah, a little chunky. Well, now the other thing that I heard, Tara, is that I think it was yesterday that this story was on Yahoo's homepage website.
Yes.
Is that true?
I heard that. I actually
Major.
Didn't see it. I didn't even look at Yahoo. I was quite busy framing otter paintings yesterday, so I didn't even look at Yahoo. But I did hear that from multiple people, and I think what happened with that is, so after Krista wrote the story, it was actually printed out in a paper in Sacramento. It was printed you had read in the Twin Cities.
Yeah.
And a few other places. So that was awesome. And then we got a call from ABC. So ABC did a story on it. And
well,
it's a
of
little
course.
Snip on their website. So
ABC, that's secondary to WTIP. But what the heck, they've got to get their stories in too. So.
I know. I'm sure you've heard of them. But So they did that on their website. They did a short little blurb on ABC News.
Oh, that's great. What wonderful publicity for the aquarium.
I think so. It's just like such a fun a fun, different story. People are like, what? Otters can
sing? Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's just really neat for people to be able to see and to just kind of get that closer feeling with our otters.
You know, you bet.
Oh, I took this home. Our otters painted that, and you can have that. So
we've been visiting with Tara Lieberg. Tara is the otter keeper, among other duties, also taking care of things like snakes, turtles, small birds, amphibians, and a whole host of painters. And about the story of the otters painting, and those paintings actually are available for purchase. Tara, I want to thank you so much. Clearly, not only with your regular duties and painting, but with all the other interviews and so forth, you're a very busy person, and I just really appreciate you giving us the time.
Yes, thank you. I am glad to do it.
Great. Take care.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye.